This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties, and people know this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? Sound horrible.
The Fan. New York
streets will kill us. Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fam. Welcome back in. Hope your Mondays are going well. Sprague are out today. 4-day weekend for him. I think he's back tomorrow. Swag will be back tomorrow as well. It's been a busy day. All started with Patrick Mahomes signing a big contract extension that we now have some financial details on. So if you missed Joe's SportsCenter update, I will repeat. We knew it was going to be north of $400 million. The question was going to be, would it top Mike Trout's contract, which is the richest ever signed in professional sports, with 12 years, $426.5 million. And then you added in what he had left on the next two deals and then the fact that it was going to be $400 million. You knew it was going to top that. Schefter just tweeting out a few moments ago that the compensation update is Mahomes' 10-year extension is worth $450 million. The injury guarantee is $140 million per source. It does not contain language that ties its value to the percentage of the salary cap. It is the richest deal, of course, in sports history. So that was the huge question. We started with that right when we talked about it earlier today. Would it be a contract that ties to the amount of salary cap? You get a percentage, and when the cap goes up, the amount of the contract goes up, or if for some random reason the cap goes down, the amount of the contract will go down. That is apparently not the case. It does not contain that language, which is really interesting because everybody thought when he signed a 10-year deal, that's exactly what it would be. So just trying to do some ballpark math on this bad boy, a 10-year extension worth $450 million is what it says. So I believe he had $27 million left on the next 2 years of the deal. So he is now under contract for the next 12 years. It's somewhere in the range of, what, $480 million for the next 12 seasons. And it will shake out to, it looks like what would be a $45 million per year over the next 10 years. Now, we talked about it earlier in the show where some of the other quarterbacks rank. We knew he was going to get the most all time. But we just weren't sure exactly how much and how long the deal was going to be. Now it looks like we know. So if that does end up being the case, $45 million per year over 10 years, I'm assuming it's flat. Maybe it goes up over the next 10 years. We don't know those specific details. Russell Wilson is the highest average per year currently at $35 million. So potentially topping that by $10 million. And now you wonder what that's going to do for the rest of the quarterback market, because Prescott's still looking for a deal. There's no way in hell Dallas is going to give him $45 million a year. Does he even try and demand that? Is he willing to accept less? He should, because he's nowhere near the quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. Deshaun Watson is another guy that's up and coming, looking for a new contract soon. So watching how that reshapes the quarterback market is going to be really interesting, because $45 million a year is a crazy amount. But as I said earlier, I think Mahomes is worth it. It'll hamstring them a little bit, obviously, financially, and what they can do with the rest of the roster. But you have one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the league. You know he's going to give you a chance to win in every game that you're in because of how talented he is, no matter the sum of the parts around him. And I would give him that contract in a heartbeat. And you don't have to worry about inking him up. If it is not a contract, as we now know, it's not a contract that's tied to the salary cap percentage, right? And if it's not a contract that goes up on a year-by-year basis, I almost think it's a fun game to play to think how long until we look at $45 million and wonder if he's underpaid. Because he is now, $10 million clear of the next closest quarterback on Russell Wilson at 35. How long will it take? Because we see a lot of these deals And eventually you get there. Like Stanton signs his big deal with the Marlins, which at the time was the biggest contract. And then you had Machado come down the pipeline. Then you had Harper come down. And then Mike Trout signs and blows those guys out of the water at $426 million over 12 years. Like, it doesn't take long. And I don't know if there's somebody out there that's I do know there's nobody out there that's worth that level of money. But is there somebody that can sniff around it? Watson is probably the only one that I think talent-wise has a legitimate argument to try and get in that range. Russell Wilson is a free agent in 2024, so he's got a couple more years left on his deal. And I don't think at that age, right, four more seasons, I don't know if he would get to that level of ballpark of a contract. But the financials on Mahomes' deal, man, 10 years, $450 million is the extension. The injury guarantee is $140 million. But not being tied to the salary cap percentage is interesting. They threw a bunch of money at him. He was happy with where he was at. Said, I'll sign up. That's the biggest contract in sports history. It's a no-brainer. It'll be interesting to see how we view that thing coming up in like 5 or 6 years if the thought process changes at all around it. But for Kansas City, to know that you got your guy inked up, and especially, as I mentioned, if it's a contract that's like those, you know, Harper and Machado deals that are just a standard amount every single year, and it's not going up, not going down, not fluctuating, that gives you a lot of freedom, might not be the right word, but it gives you the ability at least to know where your financial situation will be in years to come and how much wiggle room you have to go out and sign other guys. It's not this looming question that hangs over your organization. You get that a lot of times with these quarterbacks signing short-term deals, and teams kind of rush to re-up them just to make sure you know where you're at financially. Kirk Cousins signed that 3-year deal. He's already signed an extension. Dallas is dealing with that right now, with wondering, all right, when we do sign Dak, how much is it going to be, and can we afford Amari and all the Zeke and all these other guys that we've given out big-time contract extensions to? How's that puzzle going to fit together? This gives Kansas City the ability to at least know for 10 years, if that's the case, how much their quarterback is going to cost. You hope he's cool, at least not asking for any more on top of that for the first handful of years of the deal. Maybe it helps him out here in the short term and the long term, having him inked up. But Patrick Mahomes, 10 years, $450 million contract extension. If that is what the deal ends up breaking down to, $45 million per year, that would put him $10 million ahead of Russell Wilson, the highest average per year. And clearly the most total value, the most total guaranteed, highest average per year. He is blowing everything out of the water. And it looks like if it ends up being the other 2 years with $27 million on them, it could be a contract that's nearly $480 million. There's your big bombshell in the NFL today. Okay, I want to get to some college football stuff. Something coming out of the Ivy League should have people alert about what potentially could come for the Power Five. And one coach put some credence behind it. We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Things just ain't the same for gangsters. Times is changing. Young is aging. Becoming OGs in the game and changing to make way for these new names and faces. But the strangest things can happen.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080 The Fan. Wrapped up and wrapped in plastic,
zipped up in bags when it happens. Welcome back in 216. Would you pay for a cardboard cutout of yourself at a sporting event? We'll get to that still in the final hour of the show. You know, we've all kept our eye on college football, wondering what the season's going to look like. Will it happen? I know Oregon fans are pretty eager to find out because it's the best home schedule that they've had in the history of the program. And you want those games to happen. You want the ability to go, and who knows if that's going to happen, right? It's just kind of this big gray area. But teams around the conference and around the country are back getting workouts in, trying to navigate their way towards having an actual season. And there's been some interesting trends in this that I think are worth bringing up. So if you remember all the way back in March, the first thing that shut everything down, essentially sports-wise, I believe, was the Ivy League canceling their conference tournament. And that was done preemptively before the NBA, before everybody else did. And it was kind of mocked initially of people saying that they're overreacting to this and come on, this isn't that big of a deal. You're really canceling it. And then you fast forward a number of days and everybody else and everything else was canceled in the entire sports world. It just took a couple of more dominoes to fall. They ended up being the first one that acted proactively about it. Well, there's been some kind of rumors and people speculating behind the scenes that could they again be the trendsetter for the upcoming year in terms of fall sports? And will we eventually follow their lead? So we told you last week that there was speculation growing amongst folks that follow the Ivy League that they were considering moving the season to the spring. I'm just saying, we don't like the situation right now. We're not comfortable. Let's punt this thing to the spring and hope that the circumstances are better. Well, they came out with an announcement today, the Ivy League did, basically coming out saying what their on-campus student stuff will look like. And they are going to drastically limit on-campus activities. They are going to limit people attending classes, and it's going to be essentially a small number, if any, that are allowed. And they're also going to completely draw back the number of events around the campus, if you will, throughout the fall term. And coaches now are starting to wonder if this is the first step that's the domino that then gets the Ivy League to officially punt the football season to the spring. There was one coach that gave an anonymous quote saying, in order to have an effective season without hiccups, time is the answer. If we play in the spring, it's not going to bother me at all. Another one said, it seems more realistic now to play in the spring with cases spiking in so many areas. So yeah, Harvard announced that all classes will be online in the fall. They're bringing some students in. I didn't read it super specifically, but some students back to campus, but all classes will be online in the fall. And people have been wondering, like, is this going to be the launching point, right? Will the other conferences and leagues follow suit? Larry Scott did a sit down with an NCAA panel on Friday, and he had some interesting quotes, and we kind of talked a little bit about it late in the week last week, but one of those quotes was, the next few weeks are going to be a defining moment. Unless we see a change in the trajectory of the spread of the virus and its impact pretty quickly, I think the situation's a lot more perilous than it was a few weeks ago. The Power Five athletic director also came out and said that they will make a decision independent of what the Ivy League does, but he's become increasingly pessimistic that college football will happen this fall, and the impact of the cases out of Independence Day weekend will be telling, and a truer read on the numbers will likely come by the end of July. So it looks like we're heading to some conclusion on this, and a lot of folks around Power Five conferences are saying they're going to monitor what happens following July 13th. So July 13th is when campus and I think official practice can begin, and that gives them that 6-week buildup to starting the season in week zero at the end of August. And there's a lot of folks that have said that's going to be an important marker of just kind of where things go. If people returning to a normal practice schedule July 13th, what do things look like coming in August? SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey came out and said that's the late July time period. July 13th is when a little bit more practice can begin. I think we deserve the chance to see how that progresses. I would say before we got into full-blown practice, you're going to be in that decision-making process as it relates to what happens on Labor Day weekend, which is the scheduled start of the season. Larry Scott also added that they have been in regular communication with all the other Power Five conferences around the country. They talk daily, and they have modeled four different scenarios. The Pac-12 has, at least, and I'm assuming the other conferences have as well, but they're talking every day. The Pac-12 has four modeled scenarios. One is playing the regular season as scheduled. Two is delaying the start of the regular season a couple of weeks, I guess, to see how things look at the end of September and in October. Three would be scheduling only conference games, doing a round robin. You could just go your whatever your conference slate was, or add the other teams you weren't going to play in your conference if you want to get 12 games. And the fourth option would be moving the football season to the spring. And I am starting to sense a growing shift in that becoming a more realistic possibility. And one major coach threw weight behind it this weekend, and that was Lincoln Riley, who has been really outspoken throughout this entire time, you know, about player safety and all that kind of stuff. And he added weight to this spring schedule. He said on Friday that it's very doable. He was doing a Zoom call with reporters. He said, quote, I think the people who say it's not an option, in my opinion, just don't want to think about it. I just think it would be wrong of us to take any potential option off the table right now. I think it'd be very difficult to say the spring is not a potential option. I, for one, think it's very doable. I hope like hell we can play in the fall and do it as close to how we've always done it before. If we can do that, I'm all for it if it's the best option. But we've seen, at least right now, that the hot weather doesn't affect the virus as much as we hoped as it would. So if you see an announcement this week watching, if the Ivy League pushes their football season to the spring, which now with the on-campus stuff announcements happening at certain Ivy League institutions, a lot of people are expecting that season to get pushed to the spring. If that's to take place, that's a really big domino to fall, I think, for the other conferences to take a more serious look at this and saying, should we do it in the spring? Because Larry Scott also echoed, and it's the big question we've had this entire time, they don't know, like, they haven't figured out, are we willing to move on without certain institutions? Are we willing to move on without certain conferences? Like, are we going all in on this? Because the NCAA has the ability to cancel March Madness. They control March Madness. They don't control the college football season and the college football playoff that way. So you could have the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 say, we're going to play, and the Pac-12 say, no, we're not going to play. And it just would create this really weird circumstance that I don't think would be good for the sport in the long run. But it looks like we're coming to a decision point at some point in July on what the season will look like, and a growing sentiment that it might happen in the spring this year.
It's funny that we don't care about Ivy League sports until they do things like this, right? And they were one of, if not the first conferences to cancel their athletic tournament in the basketball season. They were one of the first ones to do it, and everybody followed suit. That was kind of like the first domino to fall in March Madness was, well, Ivy League's not doing their tournament.
Right,
and
right.
those are some smart people that work in the Ivy League. I mean, say what you want about $50,000 online classes that Harvard's not going to be serving up. But when people look at the Ivy League and what they think, it's because they're some of the smartest or most well-connected people in our country. And so when they're making these decisions about their athletics, now granted, their athletics do not generate nearly as much
money
as the Power Fives, even the mid-majors, some of those. But, I mean, they have to look out for the same things as these schools do, and it's their student body, and it's student athletes. Student comes first. That's what they always say. And they aren't going to have people on campus, so they won't have sports. They'll move it back to the spring. And if this is what supposedly, quotation marks, the smartest people in our country have to say about this, I mean, yeah, expect everyone to follow suit. I'm not going to be surprised.
Well, you mentioned the smartness of the Ivy League. We all know that, right? It was a good article that came out. Nicole Auerbach and I think it was Bruce Feldman maybe that was on it with her. But they put out a piece kind of about this, and they highlighted just kind of the decision process that's happening, right, in the Power Five. And they had a quote, a line in there saying that a Power Five administrator said that a lot of university presidents, particularly those at top academic institutions in the Power Five, consider Ivy League schools their peers. They respect their level of research and expertise coming out of those campuses. A society at large waits for the COVID-19 vaccine. And there was one Power Five administrator that had this quote in their article saying, "My suspicion is that the majority of presidents in the FBS are uncomfortable with the notion of playing football this fall for various reasons, but they don't want to be the first to step out and say that." Continued, "So the more than anything else, the decision provides the cover that they need. I expect it'll be a big domino." So that's kind of the thought process that exists here, is that there's a lot of administrators in Power Five conferences that want to come out and say, are we going to do this fall? Should we postpone it? Like, we need to think about this, but nobody wants to be the first person to stick their neck out. And part of that maybe goes back to the Ivy League. Again, it was on March 10th. So that was 4 days, I think, before the NBA shut down. And everything happened in between that. But when they shut down their conference tournament on March 10th, everybody made fun of them. Like, it was like, really? We're doing this? And then the Warriors weren't allowing fans. Like, that was kind of the thought process we had at the time. And then everybody joined and followed and said, yes, we need to shut things down for a little bit. So we have a poll question up right now at Durden Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. And you can go vote. How do you think the college football season is going to look this upcoming year? Like, if you had to wager money on it right now, would you say full season, regular, and this isn't including fans, this is just playing games. And fans is a whole nother conversation. Full regular season as it's already scheduled, conference-only games, delaying the start, or moving the season to the spring? Where would you put your money?
I mean, honestly, I see almost a combination of three of those. Delaying the start, conference-only. Yeah.
And delaying it is it's moving to the spring, I guess, are technically the same thing, but it would be more so like starting in October.
Yeah, when I think of a delay, as you mentioned, I'm thinking a couple weeks, you know, push it back, the start time. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I'm thinking a delayed start time, and if they obviously can't do that, push it back to spring, and probably just conference schedule. Keep it regional. Keep it within the confines of a couple states, you know, your West region. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be clamoring to go all the way to Ohio right now and watch the Buckeyes Ducks in their stadium, you know, and I just, if you regionalize it, you know where people are going a lot more. I would say that it's more so a conference schedule and where you're going to be playing.
Yeah, one Ivy League coach did say, you know, as you mentioned, we're not a revenue sport, nor do we have a playoff kind of thing. So it's different for us, you know, to make this decision to move to the spring than it is for other people.
Yeah, and good point. I mean, Ivy League, they didn't have a conference tournament until a couple of years ago for basketball, I want to say. So for them to cancel it after just
it's nowhere near the same financial impact. Right,
but still, I mean, like, they just started it, so you'd think they'd want to see it through and play their tournament. You know, it's like, hey, we finally got our basketball tournament. They said, no, screw it. shut it down. We're not going to have it.
Yeah.
So I just seen it in that sense. Again, finance is way different, but just the excitement to play the game and saying, hey, we finally got our tournament. They said, screw it. Scrap it. We're not doing this for health and safety.
Yeah. And you know, I agree with Larry Scott that I think the next couple of weeks are going to be the defining moment in this, but I have thrown my weight behind it and I will continue to do so. You cannot not have a football season this year. It's just the financial implications of that, if there's not football, are dire for the universities, which is sad, but that's the reality that we're living in. I would give myself as much time as I possibly can to make sure I get this right. Now, they're going to have the benefit at least. Now, it's going to be at the very end of August, but we will have a lead up to Major League Baseball, the MLS, which I think is scheduled to start or supposed to start this week, but some of their games have already been postponed. We'll get to that in a little bit. Major League Baseball, MLS, the NBA returning, right? The NHL potentially coming back. They came out with their guidelines today. If all of those go according to plan, I think that will let people or make people feel a lot more confident in college football returning in the fall. But if you have some of these go sideways, like if baseball continues on the path they're on, I'm not feeling great. If the MLS continues on the path they're on, I'm not feeling great. Who knows what the NBA is going to look like? I tend to give them credit for being the most thoughtful and proactive about player safety, right? But who knows? You're still in Orlando and it's going to come down to personal responsibility of the players. Like, if you have some of those that go bad, that's going to be a really bad look for football season actually happening. And I just want everybody to be on the same page. I don't want differing seasons. I don't want some people left behind. And maybe you get that in the spring, but giving yourself more time to say, let's start in February or let's start in March and have a season then, I think it helps out your case a lot. And would it be difficult? Of course it would be difficult. Of course, like, is the NFL draft going to be in there? You could have players that maybe opt out of playing in the season because they want to go to the next level, like a Penei Sewell, who could be the number one overall pick. Like, yes, of course that might be an outcome of it. But if it means having a football season that takes place in full that you can actually watch and reap the rewards of, as opposed to starting something that's not well thought of, everybody's going at it at a different pace and it gets shut down a couple of weeks in. Yeah, I'm all for having a season in the spring if it means getting a college football season in this year. But as this is pointing out, they think a lot of folks around college football think the Ivy League could be a domino effect for everybody else. We've seen some Pac-12 schools come out with statements on students in the fall and what it's going to look like, but not all of them yet, at least to my knowledge. But the Ivy League coming out with a lot of their institutions saying no students on fall this on campus this fall, and that could lead to the postponement of football season to the spring, which might have a larger ripple effect across the college football world. We have a poll question on that. How do you think the football season is going to look? You can chime in as well, 503-250-1080. Just where's your thought on what is today, July 6th? Where's your thought on how the season is going to look this afternoon? We'll read some of those. Also, would you pay for a cardboard cutout of yourself at a sporting event? Because one team's doing this, and I actually kind of want to buy one just because of what it might mean. So we'll get to that coming up next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, on 1080, The Fan.
A couple of thoughts rolling in. I said college football gets moved to the spring. Something tells me that Penei Sewell, Justin Fields, guys like that aren't going to risk suiting up. No doubt about it. Yeah, another one came in similar to that. Imagine having a season in the spring. Guys like Lawrence, Fields, Sewell all end up sitting out for the NFL. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a ripple effect that is a negative, no doubt, for college football. If you play in the spring, that you're going to have guys that might choose to say, I'm going to go to the NFL. And you would hope that you could work with the league a little bit on wiggling around the draft date and pushing it back maybe to the end of the season. But that might not be a realistic possibility. And I saw one person float that's way too much of a burden to put on the players to have them play in the spring and late and then come back in like July and August to get started for the next year. And I think it was Lincoln Riley that said, it's like, wait a minute, we play till January and then we're back at like winter workouts and starting spring practice in like February and March. So what's the difference there? Now, it's not a full season. You just practice for a little bit, and then obviously you get more extended time off before the next year starts. But he said we get like 6 weeks off, and then we're back at practice hitting each other for spring ball. So
yeah, I'm personally of the sentiment that if you're in like college or pro football, you don't ever have like a week off.
Right. It's always something going on.
Yeah, I know it sucks for the college athlete, you know, but yeah, you better be training and working out year round and being in game shape.
Yeah. And the possibility, and again, this is an optimistic one, and who knows what the hell it's going to look like, man. I don't know what things are going to look like in 2 weeks, let alone what they're going to look like in March or April next year. But imagine you get to the point of having a vaccine that's widespread and the virus is under control by next March. And you can have a college football season that's played in the spring and you can put fans in the stands. Whether it's a shortened season that's just conference only or whether you play the entire games out and you get to have Oregon, Ohio State at Autzen with fans in the stands. You get to have Michigan at Washington with fans in the stands. Dude, that is a financial game changer for them. So it's a huge risk. And yes, there are negative effects that could come with postponing it, like players sitting out. But guess what? Every sport's dealing with that right now. We've had prominent baseball players float the notion. Some have already backed out, and others are wondering aloud. Like Mike Trout has been very vocal of saying he doesn't know if he's going to play. Some guys are, Mike Trout is, but other players too are expecting kids this summer, and they don't know if they want to come back and play after that. We've had basketball players that have opted out, right? So that's been a case in every sport. It's really no different if college football ends up getting to that point. I just think it's a smart no-brainer move. Give yourself more time, potential for a vaccine. Maybe you can have fans in the stands. And somebody asks, where did it go? Do you think there'd be a college football playoff this year or just a regular season? That's a really hard thing to answer. Really hard thing to answer because we don't know when everybody's going to be playing and if it will be at the same time. And if it is all at the same time, are they willing to put one on that, you know, extends travel and all that kind of stuff? I don't know the answer to that. I will, though, argue in a weird way, not having a college football playoff season might actually end up being a positive for the sport because there would always be the debate and the argument. You would go back to pre-BCS days. Remember, I mean, there wasn't a national championship before 1998. You just have a team that finished off their season. You play in your contractually obligated bowl game, and then your season was done, and you'd have a team saying, well, we won the title this year, or we were voted number one. Like, there was no national championship before 1998. So it would almost be a reverse back to that of what college football used to be like. Imagine, I'll just use a local angle, unbiasedly, of course. Imagine, like, Oregon goes, what would it be, a 9-game conference schedule. They go 8-1 with only one loss, and there's, like, three other one-loss teams. Dude, everybody would be trying to claim a national championship. It would create a fun debate. But yeah, a college football playoff, that's a long ways off. I don't know if I can answer that question quite yet.
Yeah, we didn't see a March Madness this year, so I think anything's on the table as far as what we won't get.
Right, know? We need to get the majority of the regular season first so universities can recoup that money with TV contracts, all that stuff, and then worry about that one down the line. But yeah, I'm firmly in the camp of spring football. Speaking of things not going well for another institution, let's get to this. I don't know how closely people are following this. I don't know how Timbers fans feel about it, but the MLS is an absolute dumpster fire right now, and it should be a major concern for every other sports league. So it all started with teams arriving, and the first thing that kind of went viral was the meals. Now, if you haven't seen these, go search them. They're out. You can find a picture of them.
No pun intended on the viral.
Dude, they were like Firefest meals. There were players that were tweeting out pictures of sandwiches that they were eating that had like one slice of meat in it. It looked like something you would make in 2 seconds. It was a joke for a professional athlete.
My 2-second sandwiches at home look better than that.
Right? And these are for professional athletes that are supposed to be made, right? The MLS is supposed to be covering this. Then you had the FC Dallas team show up, all of them reportedly testing negative before they entered the plane to fly to Orlando. They get to Orlando and they had multiple tests followed up by more multiple tests to the point where the entire team was quarantined. They have now officially dropped out of the return of the MLS. So FC Dallas is out. They're not going to be a part of it. Then there was this note, and I'm glad you sent this to me because I was looking for it last night and I couldn't find it. It was a player from the Colorado Rapids, Diego Rubio, who tweeted this out yesterday morning. And I don't know if he's not there or not. I don't know, but he said he's hearing from people there. He tweeted this out saying, hearing from a player in the bubble that their team is supposed to be quarantined since they got a positive test, but there's no one delivering meals to their room, which is supposed to be the protocol. So they have to go down to the meal room, get on elevators, bring the meal back, telling other players, be careful with surfaces and use extra hand sanitizer. We were supposed to go there and just think about soccer, and now we have all these problems. How are we going to play thinking that it's dangerous to go outside your room? What are your families going to think with all of this? Like, are you kidding me?
There you go.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, and just
they've already postponed their first games.
And FC Dallas, yeah, the announcement literally just came, what, like 10 minutes ago that they're pulling out of the tournament, and ESPN on their commercial break just ran a promo. MLS is back.
MLS is back,
and I'm like,
baby.
Not so fast, my friend. Like, this is, I mean, you thought the sandwiches were bad enough. Just being, when you're supposed to be quarantined, and they say we can't get food to you, so you have to leave your quarantine to go get it. Well, A, That's a lot of people in the situation in America that have to quarantine and can't leave. And, okay, well, how am I supposed – what am I supposed to do? But when, yeah, you have an environment, bubble environment, like this is supposed to be, NBA, have fun.
Yeah, they're going to the same place. They're going to Orlando.
Exact same place, the Worldwide Sports Complex.
Yeah, Joe tweeted this out too. The FC Dallas, they released a statement. They maintain that no players tested positive before traveling.
So you got there and you got it.
Yeah, they said through an MLS mandated testing service prior to the club's departure Saturday morning. Upon arriving in Orlando, FC Dallas had two players test positive for COVID-19. The affected players are immediately isolated from their teammates. League testing continued. Former players tested positive, bringing a total to six. And then I think four more after that. They ended up with like 10 players that tested positive throughout the course of last week. They said they'll have no further comment at this time. We continue to learn information daily from medical experts, constant communication with them, provide relevant updates to when they become available. But yeah, they're not. They have dropped out. So another team, I guess, is going to have to try and come in and fill their spot because you got this like pool play stuff going on. But
I mean,
now you got to go through that testing process. Like, this is a disaster.
Yeah, and they have like the I know that the Timbers have the T2 squad, which is just kind of like their minor league team. And coincidentally, something happened in Russia like a couple weeks ago where their entire team tested positive, so they had to go and tout a team of, like, teenagers.
Oh, God.
Like the FC Sochi or whatever, and they got absolutely obliterated.
Just got destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, yeah, replacement team. I don't know what the Tier 2 soccer league is in America and who's next up, who needs to be, relegated. But again,
but they were supposed – what is today, the 6th?
Yeah.
I think they were supposed to start tomorrow. Am I not mistaken? And some of those games might have already been postponed, but I thought the tournament was supposed to start on July 7th or July 8th.
The promo I just saw on the TV, it was July single digit. So whether it was the 7th, the 9th,
in
or
the next couple of days.
It's happening soon. Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, so that's where the MLS is at, man. Yeah, it's go look at the, if you haven't seen it, go search the pictures of the sandwiches that the players were tweeting out. Like, so this is my lunch today. Cool. Man, you want to be taken seriously as a sport. You can't. It's a really bad look. I'm staying optimistic that the NBA is not going to have these problems just because there's far more money involved and far more money at risk. But they're going to the same location and it's not encouraging.
So to reference Andrew Brandt again,
yeah. This
is just an all-encompassing sports tweet. He says the virus doesn't care about sports, trying to be optimistic, but at some point sports leagues execs have to be asking themselves, are we really doing this?
It's a valid question, man. Are any going well? I mean, golf, I would say, is going well. And I'm just talking American sports, not because people have brought up like European soccer and German soccer, all that kind of stuff. Golf, I think, is going okay.
Say what you want about UFC. They're really, I mean, they did have a positive test for their main event fighter. That's going to happen this weekend. Outside of that, there really hasn't been many issues. Yeah, and I've been keeping track. I've been watching a lot more UFC, obviously, because it's one of the few things that's on. And, I mean, you see these guys wrestling face-to-face, refs right in their face. But when they're walking up to the ring, they're walking by a bunch of people. So, I mean, I've been keeping an eye on what happens there. And, I mean, they've done surprisingly well as far as not having a huge crop-up of positive tests. So
yeah, I think it's another good example, too, of how much easier it is to pull off with individual sports.
Yes.
And not an entire team traveling. I mean, you got, a fighter, a trainer, three or four people that are flying together that have to get wherever they're going.
I mean, it literally takes
not
one,
a roster of 30 or 40.
Yeah, it takes one person to totally mess it all up for one team.
So not a great look for the MLS. We'll keep an eye on that one in the coming days. But FC Dallas has backed out. They had guys that tested negative upon leaving Dallas to fly to Orlando and somehow, some way, got it there. 10 players, I think, in total ended up testing positive. They've dropped out of the restart tournament. And the MLS also, there was a player that said that they were forcing guys to leave their room, even they were supposed to be quarantined to go get their own meals. And then they're giving out sandwiches that look like they're from the fire festival. So not a great look for the MLS as they try and get things underway. And we started today talking about baseball and how big of a cluster their weekend was. So team sports, we're trying to get there, but not off to a great start. All right, let's close with we'll answer the poll questions. And would you pay for a cardboard cutout of yourself at a sporting event? We'll close there next on The Fam. Now let me holla at your partner, spit this game, bend your ear for a minute. Complaining about how you can't spin it because you ain't got it.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan. No, it's not a
test. It's just me. All right, welcome back in 249. Primetime coming up top of the hour. I'm still hungry. I want some more stuff. Get fed. They said they just go to Montana to play. Yeah, and how is, I think the NWSL is doing okay, right?
I
haven't heard anything out of there.
They have started.
Not everybody's playing, I know that, because that was more so an issue of like national team players, I think, not wanting, you know, it's kind of that kind of stuff, but I haven't heard any bad things out of the NWSL unless I'm missing something.
No. Timbers just had a game.
Mean the Thorns?
Ah, yes. The Thorns. Excuse me, ladies.
And you were reading off to me during the break. So they had a bunch of games scheduled for the next couple of days, all of which have been postponed. A handful of players from Nashville's team apparently just tested positive. So.
Yeah. Colorado and Toronto haven't even left their cities.
They're not even there yet.
Yeah, because of a presumptive positive test in their traveling party. So, yeah.
Yikes. Not good for the MLS. I remember when that news came out, too, that they were going to be the first kind of team sport back. I thought, what a great moment for the sport. Like, they're going to be the only ones out there. Right? If there's no other team sports and you throw the MLS on, I'm going to watch a couple of games
Fantastic.
Of that.
Fantastic. This is going to be great PR for them.
And not so fast.
And Hammond pastrami.
So let me ask you this. I want to start or close here. We'll get to the poll questions in a moment as well. I want to close here. Would you be willing to do this? So the Giants came out. I'm sure there's other teams that have done this. I just saw it initially from the Giants. They came out and said if you're a season ticket holder, they're going to put a cardboard cutout of you in your seat. So you can take a picture of yourself, you can provide whatever you want, and there's going to be a cardboard cutout. I thought, that's kind of cool. Whenever we watch sporting events and there's no fans in the stands and it's just empty seats with nothing on them or in them, it's kind of a weird look. I like teams that get creative. There's been like Korean baseball teams putting stuffed animals behind home plate. I'm all for it, right? So I like this idea.
And other dolls.
And other dolls, yeah. You got to be careful. Can't turn them both on at the same time. So that was kind of the start that I saw. Then the A's went up to them. And the A's, I mean, they're cheap. They need money, apparently, even though their owner is a billionaire. So they're doing this. I wish they weren't charging for it, but I am intrigued. So they announced that, yes, you too can get a cutout of yourself in your seat. If you are an A's Access member, it will cost $49. If you're a general fan, it will cost $89. And if you want to put your cardboard cutout in a foul ball zone, a foul ball hotspot, if you will, it will cost you $129. The trade-off, though, is that if a ball lands in your seat, they will send you the ball.
Bingo. That's what I was going to ask. It's like, I would get that if they send me the ball.
I'm kind of... Look, the A's are cheap, and I hate giving them credit for this because this is like, I don't want to put money in their coffers right now. Like, screw the A's. But the idea of watching a game with your team playing and keeping an eye on foul balls, like knowing where your seat is in the stadium.
Just
like,
don't even care about the game.
Dude, you're like, just watching like pick your fit. You're watching a Baltimore Orioles game. You know that your seat's down the first baseline. Every time there's a pop-up down that side, you're going to get psyched and wonder if that was your seat that it landed on. I'm kind of contemplating putting $129 into a foul ball seat to see if I can get a ball out of it.
I mean, your chances are probably just as good at getting a foul ball with your cutout than being right? in an actual game.
You don't
have
to fight for it.
No.
You don't have to make a play. Just has to land in your seat.
No, I won't catch an assault charge on a 5-year-old. It's my ball, kid.
I love that idea. I love that idea. So $129 if you want to put your cardboard cut out of your face, and if a foul ball lands in your seat, they will send you the ball. I also like that the A's added that if you decide to be a part of the promotion, you'll get two tickets to the first exhibition game at the Coliseum in the 2021 season.
Exhibition game?
Yeah, they always play spring training games at the end of spring training. They usually play the right. Giants in a little series for a couple of days.
Before
it all starts.
You upgrade that to a regular season game in August or September, and we're talking.
Yeah, it's not like they struggle to sell out their regular season games. You have to give them two tickets to a game of their choice in the following season.
How about if you hit a foul ball towards my cutout, you send the entire team to Portland? How does that sound?
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, I saw that. I'm kind of contemplating. It'd be fun just to track those and see if you end up getting a foul ball out of it. Is it worth $129? No, but it'd give you something fun to watch. I hope other teams do that without charging. Like, let fans put their face in a seat, and if the ball lands in the seat, you can send it to them. You don't need to charge them money for that. They would have taken the ball anyway. So I thought that was pretty cool. I consider doing it. Okay, let's rattle through some poll questions, shall we? What is worse, June fireworks or July 5th fireworks?
June. I think I've put my stance on that one.
July 5th fireworks won 60% of the vote.
Well, I don't disagree. I just think that 4 days in advance, a little ridiculous. Yeah.
And even more than that, too. There was some going off in early June this year. Do you like Bryson DeChambeau, yes or no?
Yes, he is interesting for golf. Is he a douche? Yeah, but you know what? Let's spice things up in our golf field, huh?
55.9% of people say no. I voted no on that one as well.
I like having him on the tour. Don't know if I would have a beer with him.
A couple people said I voted yes just because of his hats.
Exactly.
He wears a cool hat.
It's a cheeky little hat he's wearing there.
He's pulling that look off a little bit. So 55.9% of people say no. As of today, what kind of college football season do you think we will have? 39% of people say that the season will be moved to the spring.
Hey.
27.7% say shortened season, conference only. 24.8% say just a delayed start. 8.3% of people are still optimistic enough to say it's a full normal season.
And we look at the demographics, all coming from the SEC. How about that?
All those votes are from Arkansas. And then would you sign a waiver to attend a live sporting event? 54% of our listeners saying no, that they would not.
No.
But 45.9% said that they would.
Yeah, so I hear the people that say my health, my decision, go for it.
Yeah, that's what you want to do, man. So there you go. There's the poll questions. Those will be up. You can still go vote. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July, man. It was a weird holiday, not having the normal traffic, not having the normal fireworks shows. But Joe, you cooked up some good ribs and everything was good.
Yeah, just to share with the listeners, the ribs were on point. I made like an impromptu little smoker out of my propane grill, cooked those babies for a long time.
Boom.
They were amazing.
Boom. All right. Well, Sprager will be back tomorrow. A little weekend for him. Swag will be back. Good run for you, Joe. Thanks for filling in and helping us out, man. Much appreciated. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. Hope you had a good 4th. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fam.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.